welcome back to the EDF podcast series. We got Kevin finally back to talk about yet another project. Boy, these things pop up everywhere, don't they, Kevin? You guys are really aggressive.
They do, yeah, Mark. There's a real need for renewable energy in New York State and some aggressive targets that were set by the government. And we're trying to find a few host communities that fit the three key ingredients that we've talked about in the past with transmission lines and available lines, supportive communities and available land. And this project we're talking about here today in the towns of Rose and Galen is one of the areas that we've targeted for another one of our projects.
That's, and I didn't know exactly where that was, so I Googled it, and I have seen signs for Rose, New York, and Galen, New York, and it's central, almost central New York, really. I guess I consider Syracuse central, so you're not quite far enough east to call it, I guess, central New York, but I know when I listen to the radio in Syracuse, they always say central New York, so you're almost there, right above the Finger Lakes. Looks like a beautiful region.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful area, and I think right in Wayne County is actually one of the top apple-growing places in all of the United States, so it's a real special place.
So you really need to go back and listen to all of our podcasts because they really tell the whole story. And, I mean, anything you want to know about EDF and solar and how they go into the area and how it all works is probably out here in a podcast somewhere. Because I think we've covered just about everything from the bees to the sheep under the solar panels to the batteries to the landowners. So what's kind of new about this project?
Yeah, great question. And we did record a few other podcasts, as you mentioned, that have more generic information that is similar from project to project. And on this podcast, we wanted to cover more project-specific information about this Rosalind Solar Project. So what's specific about this project is it's a 350-megawatt project, meaning we're looking to site solar components on about 2,000 acres of land in the area and connect it to a transmission line that's the lines on steel towers that's running east to west south of the town of Rose. And we've been present in the community since 2019, talking to representatives from both towns and a number of landowners to find out if this project could be supported in the area. We also held a couple public meetings back in 2019, and there was quite a bit of support. We actually have 17 families signed up so far who are willing to host solar components, so the solar panels, the inverters, the transformers. We're almost completed our land acquisition process, again, signing leases and easements, but we still need additional land to site the 350 megawatts. So we're sort of still meeting with landowners, and if anyone is interested, generally we're looking at the area south of the town of North Rose and north of the town of Clyde, again in the towns of Rose and Galen. So if there's interested people in the community who have land, we invite them to reach out to us and have a conversation.
What's the best, that's a great question. So if people want to reach EDF, how do they do that, Kevin?
Yeah, we invite people if they have any questions or, if they have, they want to find out how they can participate in the project or just more generally, if they're curious about the project in any way, they want to find out more about who we are, what the project is, they want to share ideas with us, they can reach us at by email at NewYorkSolar@edf-re.com or by phone by dialing 833-333-7369.
Okay. Dill, let's give the phone number one more time because I think most people couldn't write it down that fast.
833. Yeah, the phone number 833-333-7369.
That's not hard. Does it spell anything? Any can't think Cole?
It doesn't spell anything cool, unfortunately.
So you just got to remember the phone number like the old days. Good. So now that would be for a landowner or somebody that has any kind of questions, concerns. They can reach out to you direct. Probably the best is email. That's my personal favorite. And people seem to respond better to email. You know, with chat, so heavily involved in companies nowadays, email is more effective because we all get less of them.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, people have questions. We'd rather provide information to them and answer their questions sooner than later. So any way they can get in touch with us, we're more than happy to have our team answer questions and provide information that people need.
Well, and I can speak for EDF in my experience. You guys are, I mean, it's a big company, but you don't operate like you are. I mean, you're very personal. Everyone reaches out when they're supposed to. It's not like screaming into the ocean. So good for you guys. You guys do a great job. I really appreciate that. So let's talk more about do we say it Roseland?
Yeah, so the project name Rosalind is really combining the names of the two towns, Rose and Galen. So we combine them together and they're said as they're said with their town names, so Rose Allen.
And then, if we talk about why here, that's actually, I think we did a whole podcast about that. But in general, it's just because it's, great weather-wise, sunshine-wise, but it's in a great location to the infrastructure that that you need to host the wires and everything, right? To send it out.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And there's not a lot of places across New York State where a project of this magnitude can be sited. And there's a few key ingredients that I alluded to earlier that make this a nice area for a solar project like the one we're proposing. First of all, there's the transmission line I mentioned that's running east to west in the south part of the town of Rose. And the transmission line has capacity on it to take the energy this project would be able to infuse onto the grid. Also, there's a lot of open land in the area. Obviously, we wouldn't want to cut 2,000 acres of trees down to
No.
site a solar project like this
I
one. There
know.
would be
That would
a
be
lot of
kind of,
studies, a
that's
lot
what
of
we would have done
experience out
back
there,
in
a lot of
the
vegetation, animals, and different habitats. So that's not the right way to go. And also, we found support in the community. So again, we've had multiple conversations with town officials, with landowners, and like I mentioned, we have 17 families already signed up to site project components. So, had it not been for that support, we wouldn't be able to develop in this area. So we've been very happy to date with our relations in the area, and are looking to build upon that.
That's great. And then talk a little bit about I find this fascinating as far as the jobs that actually coming into the jobs that come into the area, but they're all temporary, so it doesn't saturate the system, the schools, and everything else. But it really is kind of cool how this works.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of benefits that are possible for the community. I mean, we look at the leases and the easement agreements we have with landowners for this project, and we'd be looking at once the project is in operation, providing over $2 million in land payments to those landowners. We're looking at signing up, or sorry, negotiating a pilot agreement and a host community agreement that would provide roughly on order of 10 times more tax revenues on the acres of land that we'd be siting the project on compared to the taxes that are currently paid on that land. And just to be clear, that's EDF Renewables that will pay all those additional taxes. It doesn't have any impact on neighboring farmers or others in the area. So we're looking at about $1 million or more than $1 million a year in additional revenues for the town, or the two towns, the county and the school districts. So there are some great benefits there. Also, you mentioned the jobs. So I think one thing a lot of people forget about is the jobs even created in the development stage. So there's a lot of studies that have to take place, you know, bird studies, archaeology studies, a lot of reports. And we're working with a team of consultants, you know, mainly located in Syracuse and other parts of New York State. There's some in Rochester who we're working with as well. And that creates a lot of, you know, employment even prior to construction. But I think what you're alluding to, Mark, is that during construction, there's a lot of people that need to be to come together to build this project.
Sure.
And you know, we're basically looking at you know peaking maybe at 300 or more than 300 workers, and the construction would take about 2 years for a project of this size. So that could potentially be a boon to the area for that period of time, with workers coming into the area to help build the facility, you know, helping to support local hospitality, restaurants, and lodging establishments. And there'd be some, you know, material procurement from the area, maybe some of the gravel or fencing or other equipment to help build the project. So, yeah, it's a tremendous opportunity for the area. And then during the operations and maintenance period, looking at 4 full-time positions being created. And, you know, some of our other podcasts get into agrivoltaics like beekeeping and sheep grazing under the solar panels. And those are additional opportunities to provide economic benefits to the area. And we're open to having conversations with the community around what else can we use the space under the panels for. You know, are there things we can grow that make sense? And we're available to have those conversations now and at a later date, because this facility is being proposed for up to maybe 30 or 40 years. And obviously, things can evolve over time.
You know, that's a great point. You know, you're wide open to ideas. And maybe somebody's sitting out there with the best idea ever to take advantage of the space under the... Maybe it's me. Now that I know that you, you know, what can we do with this space that helps everyone? And I mean, I love the beekeeping, you know that, and the sheep grazing. I think it's fantastic. I didn't realize that you actually reach out to the local people to have them, you know, provide maybe the bees or the sheep grazing. I thought that you kind of had partners and they came in and did it. So you keep that local as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned ideas. Everything is based on an idea. And somebody had an idea one day to put sheep under solar panels. And it's something that's widely used nowadays. For example, some of our other podcasts touch upon the solar grazing, the sheep we have under the panels at our Armprior site, and the bees that we have at our Armprior site as well. And that's basically a sheep farmer from the area who approached us one day and said, look at all that vegetation under your panels. Do you mind if we try hosting our sheep over and managing that vegetation with our sheep? And we did a pilot project, and it's worked great. I mean, this year is going to be the fourth year that they come onto the site. And we couldn't be happier to have an organic lawn mowing business under the panels, you know, helping to take care of that vegetation. And then with the pollinators, we have a beekeeper in the area who we actually pay to host hives. And then in exchange, we get the jars of honey that are produced. And there's about 300 jars of honey per year that are produced at that site. And we absolutely want to replicate that in other areas. I know there's some solar projects now selling their honey to local breweries, and they're producing a honey brew or a solar brew.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, these are the kind of ideas that we'd love to generate in the community.
That's a great, you know, and I still have the jar that you sent me sitting on my desk right in front of me. Sunny Honey. Did you come up with that name?
Unfortunately, I did not come up with that name. One of my colleagues came up with that name. It's Sunny and Honey. So, it didn't require too much thinking to come up with that name.
It's so simple, but it's perfect in every way. It just makes me laugh every time I see it. You know, Sunny and Honey. That's it. It's perfect. So shovel to ground. So we're looking at permitting and all that fun stuff. Paperwork, paperwork, paperwork through 23, right? And then maybe shovel in the ground the 24?
Yeah, so one thing we still need for this project is to obtain a contract, so to secure the project economics. NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research Development Authority, issues procurements every year to offer contracts to renewable energy projects like this one. So that's the main source of contracting renewable energy projects in New York State. There's a procurement happening later this year, so if all goes well and we're able to secure a contract this year, we would continue permitting through 2022 and 2023, start construction in 2024 through 2025, and then start operation in late 2025. So it's still a few years at best before this project sees shovel to the ground.
Well, you blink your eyes and it's here, though. I mean, it's just crazy. Is there anything else you wanted to squeeze in? Because before we head off into the sunshine, I wanted to get that contact information one more time.
Yeah, we'll provide the contact information in a moment, but there are a couple new benefits that that have been proposed for the site. First of all, there's a host community benefit program that was announced by the state earlier this year. And what that does is we have to set aside $500 per megawatt or $175,000 a year from years 1 to 10 after we start operating. And that money goes toward reducing the electricity bills for households in the towns of Rose and Galen. So based on the population of the area, that's going to reduce electricity bills by roughly $50 to $100 for the first 10 years of operation. And the other benefit is we're proposing a $40,000 annual community benefit. And how that works is every year, local organizations, could be a sports team, it could be the Rotary Club, it could be, any sort of nonprofit in the area, can submit an application to get a portion of these funds. And there'd be a local committee that would be formed. Could be 2 members, 3, 4, 5 members. That's to be discussed with the community. But starting at construction, providing $40,000 to the local community for various initiatives happening in the towns of Rose and Galen. So that's over and above the $1 million for the pilot and the host community agreement and the landowner payments and other incentives that would come with the project. So
Holy
overall,
cow, Kevin, you
this
guys.
project could bring more than $4 million per year in economic development to the area when you include operations and maintenance payments, the salaries to the workers and other payments to local contractors who would be hired to manage the vegetation and landscaping and snow removal and things like that.
Wow. I mean, you guys are really something else. You guys do it right. And I appreciate that. Especially, I'm a New Yorker. And I'll tell you, I live in a rural area, and I love, the fact that you guys think about everything. I mean, you really do. You cover all the bases when you come in, and I mean, a solar panel to me is kind of beautiful. On my dumb little bike rides, I take pictures of solar panels. I think they're pretty. I don't know. They're kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I
They
think
are.
they're kind of cool too.
I just find it fascinating that a technology that is so like on the cutting edge is sitting in the middle of a rural area. To me, I don't know, it just blows my mind. It's like the spaceship that lands in the middle of the woods. It's just to me, the conflict between the two is so cool. It's really something what you guys do.
Yeah, and maybe to close out this podcast, what we can say is, this project is new. There's solar is a new experience for people across New York State and across many parts of the world. I know there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of interest, and we invite people to get in touch with us. We want to answer questions, as I mentioned earlier. It's really important for people to engage in the project, and I've been doing this doing this job for 11 years now, and every project is unique, and we learn from previous projects, and those learnings kind of carry on to the next project and the next project. So again, if people want to get in touch with us, our number is 833-333-7369, and they can email us at newyorksolar@edf-re.com.
Don't forget that hyphen. Don't forget exactly. That hyphen.
it can catch you. But yeah, we look forward to engaging with the communities of Rose and Galen on our project. And so far, we've been very happy. And yeah, look forward to a great experience together.
And you know what? We even forgot to introduce ourselves. So I'm Mark Owen, and I'm talking with Kevin Campbell. He's a senior manager at EDF Renewables. And what a beautiful company you guys are. We're so lucky to have you in New York. We really are.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And you know, like I mentioned, I've been developing solar projects for the last 11 years. And, you know, the experience we have in the communities where we develop, I think, is front and center in any one of our projects. You know, what I've learned over time is there's a lot of technical aspects, permitting and studies that go on with our projects, but we really need to focus a lot of attention on the communities and educating our communities and answering their questions. And, you know, through my 11 years, more and more, I realize that's, you know, that can lead to a lot of success in our projects is making sure that we're listening and informing and answering questions.
Fantastic. So if you're interested in this podcast, you need to find the rest of them, because there's some great ones out there that explain everything from beginning to end. The beekeeping, the sheep, the batteries, the reason they go here, the reason they go there. I think the first three that you and I did together, really, you can wrap your head around how this all works with those first three. But there's then they go in even deeper with all the podcasts we've done. So give a listen. If you're interested, you got the contact information, reach out to EDF. And we'll be right back. Thanks for doing the show, Kevin.
Thanks very much, Mark.